whenever something happens on the world stage, Dr. Thomas Ambrosio is the first person I reach out to. And you know what? He's good enough to give us some of his time on a Monday afternoon. Welcome back, Doctor. How you been?
I wish I can come in when there's something good going on in the world, right?
Call you Dr. Doom is what we're going to do, because every time something that's doom and gloom, and that's when you hear from me.
Yeah, I know. Oh, this is a bad one.
This is, we were watching the Twins game on Saturday, and that's all people were talking about because it's on the back of everybody's mind. Mm-hmm. I had said in the last hour, there was a lot of rushing to social media apps, pointing fingers at this person, that administration, this one. There's a lot of conspiracy theories out there as well.
Right.
Let's boil down what we know as of this point. Hamas attacked.
Hamas, which controls the Gaza Strip, which is kind of one part of kind of the two-part Palestinian areas, the other one being the West Bank. They are run by different factions of the Palestinian people. The West Bank is controlled by Fatah, which is, I want to say, aligned with Israel, but basically they made their peace with Israel, a rough peace, but still a relative peace. Gaza is run by Hamas, which is unrepentant. Their goal is the destruction of Israel. The other side believes that Israel ain't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The Hamas believes that their goal is to destroy Israel itself.
Well, and some of the barbaric acts that have been depicted show some of that mentality.
Yeah, yeah. They very much are, in their mindset, genocidal. We can just put it right out there on Front Street. And they launched what might be one of the most daring terrorist attacks, certainly since 9/11, and the most daring attack against Israel since the Yom Kippur War of the early 1970s, which is on the anniversary of the Yom Kippur War, which Israel was caught completely off guard by the surrounding Arab states during an invasion and just barely survived that. So this is not the existential threat that 50 years ago represented, but this is something a step beyond. This isn't just shooting back and forth. This isn't just Hamas doing something in order to send a message or to hurt Israel. This is, in the way I would describe it, my first thought was apocalyptic. And we can kind of go into what I mean by that.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, in the sense that, given the scale of this, given the brutality of it, given the fact they were just kind of going in the areas, shooting people, and taking at least 100 hostages. Another faction says they have another 30, but, scores of hostages. The reason I use the word apocalyptic is because they must know what they have wrought amongst themselves on themselves. They must know that Israel is going to go in with extreme prejudice and they are going to eliminate Hamas. So whatever they thought they were going to gain by doing something like this, rather than what they've been doing, which is kind of shooting back and forth and maybe doing raids here or there, whatever Hamas thought they were going to get out of this, actually, I would argue they actually kind of have gotten something out of it, which we could talk about, but it must have been so significant that they're willing to bring down essentially the Israeli hammer. So this is kind of possibly the end game for Hamas. Mm. This is not we shoot each other for a little bit, we make peace. Or we have a modus vivendi, a living arrangement where we'll continue shooting each other in the future, but we're not going to resolve anything.
You kind of hinted at Hamas getting what they wanted, and you said that Hamas really wants the end of Israel.
That's part of it. Okay, yeah, so I think what triggered this in particular is something going on geopolitically behind the scenes. President Biden, continuing the work of his predecessor, President Trump, is trying to get peace deals between Israel and Arab states. And the jewel of the crown would be one between Saudi Arabia and Israel. And there was talk that they were getting close. My thought, as soon as I saw this happen, my thought was that this was triggered by Iran in order to scuttle that deal. Because that is one of the things that Iran fears more than anything, is a peace deal between Israel and Saudi Arabia, brokered by us and guaranteed by us, which puts everyone on the same page against Iran.
And it's not funny, but bringing that up, because people were asking about the peace deals that were in the making with Jared Kushner in the previous administration.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's called the Abraham Accords.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
That, you know, whatever happened to that. And you're saying that, hey, we're making progress.
We're making progress.
And now here we are with this potential. Iran keeps getting brought up in this.
Which one?
Iran.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, hey, there's $6 billion that were released because of a prisoner swap, which hasn't really been released. Or, Doctor, there have been a lot of conspiracy theorists that have been out all over the internet, interwebs. You know, going as far back to that previous administration and Donald Trump saying, hey, remember when he hosted the Russians and allegedly had classified information that was provided by Israel and then, you know, from Russia to Iran and now here we are? I mean, how do you sift through now,
Iran,
all this?
Yeah, Iran is key to this, though. Hamas is a client of Iran. They're not as controlled as, again, a little bit of a insider, Hezbollah, which is up north. And if that blows up in Lebanon, then we're talking big time conflict here. But they are largely controlled by Iran. Iran has said, we didn't have anything to do with this. But Hamas said, no, they helped train us and they gave us the okay. So who are you going to believe here?
Mm-hmm.
But given what is going to come to Hamas, and what has been done to Israel, they never would have approved this, in my view, without Iran saying green light.
We got your back, type.
Or either we have your back, or this is go time now. Mm-hmm. It's okay for you to do this, either directing it or giving its approval, because this is going to fundamentally change the profile of the that part of the Middle East and possibly the broader Middle East, because Israel's going to look for revenge after this, and they're looking for revenge in Tehran.
Got to get a road report out. Traffic coming in from Road Warriors at 237-5948 that there was an accident. I-29 by the Wild Rice south of Fargo. There was in that construction zone, so both directions are stopped, and a FedEx truck has tipped over. So again, I-29 by Wild Rice, that's south of Fargo here. It's in the construction zone, so both directions are stopped. So we'll get you in the know about when that does get cleared up as well. I appreciate those Road Warrior reports coming in to 237-5948. You can also safely do so at 35270. You bring up Lebanon and Hezbollah. Right. There was accounts that there were some explosions and gunfire exchanged at that border earlier today as well.
So up north in Lebanon, we have Hezbollah, which is pretty much an extension of Iran, we'll put it that way, to make it easy. There has been some shooting back and forth. However, it's unclear how much of that is actually real or is it performative? And what I mean by that is Hezbollah saying, we're going to shoot a couple of missiles, just show that we're in this along with Hamas, but we don't want a war. If that does trigger, then we're talking a much more significant situation, because no matter how, you can see how well armed Hamas is, Hezbollah is far better armed, with a lot more missiles and a lot more rockets. And then we're talking a larger conflagration within the region.
Dr. Thomas Ambrosio is our guest. You got a little bit more time
for me?
Welcome back. If you have comments, questions, 35270 is where you can get those answered. On Afternews Live, I'm Tyler Axes, your host. Stick around. More right after this.
Seems I've got to have a chance to see you.
To Afternews Live on the Mighty 790 and 104.7 KFGO.
All of you commuters out there, I want to remind you, there's been a couple of accidents that have been sent in to Afternews Live here. One at the trial level. I-94, there was an accident earlier on. It does sound as though traffic is still a little delayed in that area. And just called in not long ago, I-29, South Fargo by Wild Rice, there was an accident in the construction zone. Both directions stopped on I-29 in that construction zone. It does sound like there is a delivery service truck that had tipped over in that area as well. We'll keep on top of that because I know you're wanting to get where you need to go as I'm looking at that 5 o'clock punch out right around the corner. My guest is Dr. Thomas Ambrosio. Anytime something bad happens in the world, he hears from me, and then he's gracious enough to share his thoughts with you. You got questions coming in, Dr.
Perfect.
Ambrosio. Tyler, can you ask, what is Syria and Egypt's position and role in this?
Syria is an ally of Iran and very much anti-Israel. Syria's got its own problems right now, but they're going to side with the Palestinian state or with the Palestinians, just as, interestingly enough, Saudi Arabia said it's all Israel's fault, which is makes things interesting. Egypt is also in a difficult situation. They have basically expressed sympathy for the Palestinians, but they technically have a formal peace agreement with Israel, and they get billions of dollars from us in aid every year. Mm-hmm. So they have to walk a fine line.
Line. Tyler, your guest says Hamas controls the Gaza Strip. By control, is it as a terrorist organization, or are they recognized as a government?
That is your perspective. They are actually not recognized as the representative of the Palestinian people. That would be the ones in the West Bank, who were supposed to have elections like a generation ago and never did. So that raises interesting questions: who represents Palestine? But the United States, in particular, as well as others, see Gaza or Hamas as a terrorist group. But I think we could put aside those semantics and think about it in terms of Hamas runs Gaza. There are some other factions within there, but they run Gaza as if they were the government of a state, mm-hmm. capital S state.
Okay, let's take this for a broader walk here. We're watching as Russia's invaded Ukraine. That mm-hmm. fight's been going on. We've been supplying lots of money, lots of weapons there. We're strategically moving some of our defenses towards this area in a show of alliance to Israel, that we got your backs here.
Right.
You know, there's all these other moving parts of where did the munitions come from for Hamas? Was it Iran? Was it was Afghanistan, that stuff that's left behind? I mean, there's all these moving parts here that, like you say, perspectives might not be all on the same page. And then what happens?
Yeah, actually, probably the answer in terms of where Hamas got his weapons from is probably yes to all of it in one way or another. Things that go on the open market, most likely. But ultimately, those kind of blame game things don't really help us to where we are right now. We have to kind of deal with the situation ahead of us and then where we're going. And what we're going to be looking at most likely, at least if you listen to the Israelis and if you take them seriously and they express reality, is that they're going to go in hard. Mm-hmm. They've already cut off, essentially a complete siege of Gaza at this point, cut off food, water, electricity, any movement, and they're going to go in and root out Hamas. Now, to do that, it's going to be very difficult. We're talking about people who already live in tremendous poverty in terms of civilian population. You have a hugely urbanized area, lots and lots of buildings, and it's going to be bloody if you're going to have to do house-to-house fighting. Hamas has clearly been planning for this. They must have known that this is going to be the response. So they are looking to draw Israel into a larger conflict.
Is that why there's hundreds of hostages? Because they knew
that could be part of it. That could be part of it. It could be to use them as human shields. Also, traditionally, the Israelis have disproportionately paid a price in terms of releasing Palestinian prisoners for hostages. So that could also have been part of the calculation as well. Palestinian Islamic Jihad, which is another group, so lots of groups going on here, which is kind of a faction within Gaza. They said they have 30 people and that they want all their people released from Israeli prisons. I can just imagine I was in an Israeli prison, not as a prisoner, mm-hmm. but on a trip now about a little over a decade ago. There were people there who these were unrepentant terrorists.
You observe this for a living. What's your biggest question of what happened on Saturday to where we are now going forward?
I mean, the biggest question is going to be, how did Israel miss this? Israel has the absolute best intelligence services, especially in that region. And how did they not see this coming? This is an intelligence failure that I would say is even far worse than 9/11, because they had people embedded within Gaza. They have people embedded in this terrorist group. They have agents and secret agents. And how did this happen? That is the biggest question for right now. The other biggest question is this going to spread? Mm-hmm. And if that happens, then all bets are off. and say goodbye to any attempt to reduce inflation, because everything's going to get crazy.
Dr. Ives, appreciate you answer the call when I place it, and you give us some of your time, and I'm sure we'll be doing this again.
Whether
it's Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, I mean, the list just keeps going on.
Well, maybe we might have to have an update about this one in a little while.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Talk about it. Sounds good.
I'll reach out. I appreciate it. Dr. Thomas Ambrosio, NDSU political science professor and a foreign affairs expert. Your thoughts in the text club at 35270. We'll come back to you right after KFGO News.